right, welcome to the Amish Voice Conference calling line. Tonight we have guest Jonas Yoder, who works with HR Ministries, a prison ministry, and he'll tell us a little bit about that and about relationships and father-son and parent relationships and how things are often messed up and how God can fix it all. So I'll begin with prayer, and then we'll start talking to Jonas. Father, thank you for this evening and how we can see your creation and how great it is that you cared enough to create us and to allow us to love you. And thank you for loving us. Help us tonight to learn about how you can solve our problems and how the best way to do things is to do things your way. Thank you for families. May we all desire to have godly families and to seek to point others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this is the first Sunday of the month. Next Sunday, or next December 1st, the conference call next month, we plan to have guest Michael Pearl, who teaches a lot about on the topic of raising children, how to raise them for God, and he speaks all over the country and deals a lot with counseling parents, giving seminars on raising children. Then January 5th, we'll probably discuss some of the issues, the articles, and the latest Amish Voice. And then next year sometime at the beginning, we'll probably have a guest counselor, William Seitze. He was the one, if you were here, remember, Bruce Langeman said he does most of his counseling for him, and he's agreed to join us, so we'll plan on having him at the beginning of next year. So tonight, we have Jonas Yoder. So, Jonas, you want to tell us a little bit about HR Ministries and how you got involved and what they do?
Yes. HR Ministries is a local ministry here in Western Kentucky, and it was started about 10 years ago. I didn't start it myself. I'm a ministry assistant at the ministry. But the brother Harold Riley, he saw the need for a ministry for children, and through a process of the Lord leading him, he ended up ministering in prison to inmates. The reason for that is, God works in mysterious ways, and his timing is always perfect. But what he began to realize is there are many children across this nation, sitting in classrooms, sitting at home, sitting in different places, and they have a daddy or a mama in the prison, and they're suffering because of that. And so through that, the Lord led them to a process to begin ministering to inmates, helping them to become better fathers. And so that's what we do. I go to prison once a week, and we sit with inmates, and we go through a curriculum to help them understand how to be a better parent, how to connect with their children. Unfortunately, most fathers that end up in prison drop their relationship with their children, and that is extremely hurtful. We have some statistics that we share with people. When a father is in prison, his children are 7 times more likely to end up there also. And so we try to help them break that cycle of crime.
All right. Sounds like a lot of difficult circumstances and a lot of rewards too if they turn to God. So what specifically does HR stand for in HR Ministries?
HR stands for Hell is Real, and that is based on Revelations 1:18. Let me go there real quick. I want to read that because it helps us to understand. We believe that hell is real. That's why the ministry is called Hell is Real. And because hell is real, it is important that we reach out to the lost and dying of this world. Revelations 1:18 says, I am he that liveth. That's talking about Jesus. And was dead. Jesus was on the cross and was crucified, so he was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Today, Jesus is alive. He has victory over the cross, over death, and over hell. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So we believe hell to be a reality. And we believe many people, majority of the people, are going there. And so the Lord gave us that burden to reach out to people in the prison with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we called it HR Ministries. It's kind of an interesting name. We have we were working with a guy one day, and he saw we told him about HR Ministries, and he went online and looked up our website. And the next day he came back and he said, "Man, your name kind of scares me. Hell is real." And it gave the opportunity to witness to him. It's not necessarily intended to be a catchy name, but it is our burden.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of us would live a lot differently if we really believed hell is real.
That's so right.
If you have a question or a comment for Jonas Yoder, you can press 5-star on your phone and we'll get to you. We can. So you work with a specific part of HR Ministries, right, called Malachi Dads, and there's also Rubies for Life. What are those about?
Okay. HR Ministries is a broad ministry. We do ministry in the community, in several job corps, which a job corps is it's a government school for like high school dropouts and homeless children. Children that basically started out and life has gone sour. And it's either the job corps or juvenile prison for a lot of them. And so there's several different places that we minister, but our main ministry is in the prison, like I said. And we do a program, or better called a vision, called Malachi Dads for the men and Rubies for Life for the women. Now, just to point something out, Rubies for Life. Now, the life stands for living in freedom indoors. So let me tell you a little bit about Malachi Dads and how it started and what it looks like. About 7 years ago, a group of men from Western Kentucky went to a prison in Angola, Louisiana. It's about a 5,000 inmate prison, maximum security prison, and it has been known throughout the past century. It's been a prison since 1900, and it's been known throughout the past century as the bloodiest prison in America, meaning that it was a literal hellhole. Guys, they don't have closed cells where they put the guys in. They are large buildings, open buildings with bunk beds in them. And so there's a lot of men together. And so men would go to sleep at night with magazines tucked under their shirts to keep from being stabbed by other inmates during the night. And there was constant fights. It was a absolutely horrible place. Two and three murders a night were not uncommon. So it was called the nation's bloodiest prison. And for many years, in the mid 1980s, there was the prison got a new warden Burl Kane, and he came in there with a determination, I guess, to change the prison. A Christian man, good Christian man, and let me point this out too. This is a life sentence and death row prison. I imagine 5,000 inmates. And most of these go to prison in their late teens, early 20s, and they are going for a life sentence or death row. So a very, very depressing situation. And probably the reason why, it was basically a hellhole. It was a very hopeless situation. Imagine going to prison early in life and expecting to spend the rest of your life there. Just a horrible situation. But the inmates were treated badly by prison staff, so Warden Burl Kane began changing all that. He began bringing in new staff. He wanted to recognize inmates as a person instead of just a number. Every inmate, when they are incarcerated in the prison, receive an inmate number, and that's the number that they go by. And in Angola, Louisiana, that's basically what they were. They were a number. And so when Warden Burl Kane came in, he brought in a Bible college inside the prison, which is really unheard of. He brought the Bible in and started a Bible college. Through that process, the prison began changing. They had outside people come in to teach the Bible college, and as guys started studying the Bible, they began realizing the redemption plan that God has for us, and they started getting saved. And later, there was a harsh cry from the men because many of these men have families at the house. They have children at the house, and these children are suffering because they are going to spend the rest of their life in prison, and they have no contact with them. And so there was a heart's cry from the men to reach back to their children. And through that process, Malachi Dads was started to help the dads in prison build a vision to begin reaching back to their children, to rebuild the relationship that was broken, that was severed. And so today, that prison is absolutely transformed. Like I said, there's a little over 5,000 inmates there. There are seven churches inside the gates with inmate pastors and elders and deacons that have been trained in the Bible College. Approximately half of the prison population is Christian. And about a little over a year ago, I had the opportunity to go and tour the prison myself, and I was absolutely amazed at the attitude and the atmosphere of the prison, the friendliness. I'm saying that to say that the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing the Bible into the prison, absolutely transformed the prison. Through that, Malachi Dads started the vision of it. And Malachi Dads, why the name? It's based on Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, today we have a curse in the earth, and that curse is fatherless children, especially in the prison. Unfortunately, there are children that have fathers in the home but are basically fatherless because of broken relationships. And so that's hence the name Malachi Dads. And so about 7 years ago, a group of our men went down there, toured the prison, and brought the Malachi Dad vision back to Western Kentucky. And we started Malachi Dads in a local prison here. Had good success about a year and a half into that. We started the vision, the Malachi Dads program in that prison. They switched, they moved all the men out of that prison and moved ladies in. You know, again, God's timing is always perfect. It's amazing what God does. And so through that process, now I have ladies to deal with. And so we started a program called Rubies for Life for the ladies, which is somewhat copied from the Malachi Dads, but it's tailored for ladies to begin building relationships with their children. So what we do in Malachi Dads is, you know, there's a lot of prison ministries that go to prison and preach and sing and all that kind of stuff, and all that is good. But we always say this: if preaching would fix the problem in the prison, it would be fixed. Unfortunately, it's not. So what these men need is somebody to come alongside them and to help them. So we go to prison once a week for about 2 hours, and we have devotions with the guys. We encourage them to express prayer needs. Maybe they're disconnected with their family. Maybe they don't have addresses of their children. Maybe there's a difficult situation between them and their ex-wife or former wife or their wife, and so they're dealing with life. And then we have a time of what we call kingdom stories. What has God done in your life? And what is God moving in your life? And it's amazing the stories that we get, some of the testimonies that we've got through this. And then we break up in class, and we have a curriculum that we go through. The first book is called Inside Out Dads, a basic parenting book. It has questions with blanks, with not necessarily right or wrong answers, but it helps these men reflect where they came from and where they're at now and what they want for their future with their children in mind and what they need to do. It helps them understand what they need to do as a parent. And for many of us Christians outside the prison, this is somewhat unreal, maybe. You know, we have a general grip maybe on parenting in a sense. But a lot of these guys that end up in prison maybe had a life on the street, maybe came from a broken home themselves, and never knew what true parenting was. They have no clue about parenting. They were just out there doing their thing, and along came children, and they had not even thought about it. They were not parents to their children, and all of a sudden now they're in prison. They're separated from their children. What do they need to start rebuilding the relationships? And so some of the rules that we have in the vision, we require the guys to begin writing their children 2 letters a month. That begins that reconnection process. Most inmates in prison drop their relationship with their children. And so that is how we help them get started reaching back to their children, begins rebuilding that relationship. And we require 2 letters a month because, you know, sometimes children and their parents are estranged from each other. And we have some dads in prison that have been writing their children for several months and have not heard back. And it can be very discouraging when you keep writing to your children and you don't hear back. But to be in the program, we require that he continue writing. And we have one guy, just a quick testimony, that was not allowed to write his children because of court orders. But he stayed in class, and we prayed for him regularly, and he wrote his letters anyway, even though he couldn't send them. And after a year, he was able to have a phone call with his children, and now is able to write his children. It's all through being, you know, being a father, reaching out to his children, even when the going was hard, even when life told him it's not worth it, and when people told him it's not worth it. You know, going against all odds and a lot of struggle to rebuild those relationships. But we have some awesome testimonies from guys in prison that have went through this program, the Malachi Dads and the Rubies for Life, have reconnected with their children, has absolutely transformed their life.
Oh, yeah. It seems like there's a lot that can be done if we care about others and follow Jesus,
yeah,
who also came to set the prisoner free. Even if they're still in prison, they can still be free. So if you have a question or comment for Jonas Yoder, press 5-star. And there's some statistics that come from HR Ministries that I'll read to you about prison population. In 1970, fewer than 200,000 Americans were incarcerated. In 1980, 500,000 Americans were incarcerated. So in 10 years, it went from 200,000 to 500,000. 10 years later, in 1990, it doubled again. 1 million Americans were incarcerated. Today, there are over 2.3 million Americans in prison or jail. And if you add those on probation or parole, it comes to over 7 million. The United States has more people and a higher percentage of its population locked up than any other country. So, Jonas, why do you think that is? And why do you think the prison population is increasing?
Well, there's obviously many factors. We live in a broken society. Community and society in general has broken down. The family unit is broken down. And so when we go to prison, it is not uncommon. Like I shared with you earlier, if a father is in prison, his children are 7 times more likely to go there. Simply because of no father in the home, no leadership, and a lot of times the children are left to their own devices, and children tend to follow their father's footsteps. That is a reality. That is a biblical reality. And so it is not uncommon when we go to prison to find a grandfather and a father and a grandchild all in the prison, maybe not in the same prison, but they're all incarcerated. So it becomes a cycle. And so that is why we see, like Paul shared, the statistics growing. The prison business in America is growing by leaps and bounds because of a chain, if you will, of a cycle of broken families. And because father's not there for son ends up in trouble and he ends up going to prison too. And that cycle continues. So Malachi Dads, the purpose of that really is to break that cycle of crime. You know, there's the God said in the Old Testament, he said he would visit the iniquities of the fathers to the children, on the children to the third and the fourth generation. And we see that in reality in the prison all the time. When somebody in that cycle does not step up to the plate and say, I choose to repent, I choose to turn this around, then that cycle will continue. And so that's what the Malachi Dads is. We have a pledge that we recite every class as a group. And in that pledge, we pledge to nurture our children and to break that cycle of crime and to be a Malachi Dad, to rebuild those relationships that have been broken and to bring those ties back together, because hell is real. Hell is real for us if we don't repent. Hell is real for our children if we don't do something for them. And so, as a Malachi Dad, we stand in the gap. We say, the buck stops here. Today, we are breaking that cycle of crime. Unfortunately, many inmates don't have yet the opportunity of being in Malachi Dads. Malachi Dads is spreading across Kentucky and Tennessee. Prisons calling and asking for it. It works. It is awesome, the reality is, prison business in America is absolutely exploding. Like I said, many factors, but the biggest factor is breakdown in the family, absent father, broken relationships.
All right, if you have a question or comment, press 5-star, And if you have something to write with and want the contact information, we can give you that. So if you want to contact Jonas or HR Ministries, the phone number is 270-365-6044. That's 270-365-6044. If you want to write to them, HR Ministries, Post Office Box 311. The mailing address is 3445 Highway 293 North, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445. That's P.O. Box 311. The address 3445 Highway 293 North, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445. So, Jonas, what, as you deal with these all the time, explain to us what a dysfunctional relationship is and compare that to a biblical relationship and what they look like.
What does a dysfunctional relationship look like and what does a biblical relationship look like? You know, as I think about what does a biblical relationship look like, I try to think of examples. I love examples. You know, examples give us a sounding board, if you will. And so as I think about the Bible, you know, where is a good example of a good father-son relationship? And, you know, the best example I can come up with is God and Jesus. You know, God the Father was in heaven. Jesus the Son was on earth. But Jesus would spend time daily communing with the Father, simply talking with the Father, sharing his life struggles with the Father. And the Father was right there. It was a love relationship. Now, unfortunately, we live in a broken society, and there are very few really good relationships. They are there if we look for them. What is a dysfunctional relationship? A dysfunctional relationship is any relationship where love is missing. You know, love is absolutely essential in any relationship. When love dies out, grows cold, the relationship dies. It becomes dysfunctional, meaning it doesn't work anymore. So love is the key. It's the grease in the wheel, if you will. If you run your wagon or whatever it is, and your wheel runs out of grease, it will start squealing. Eventually, it will start screaming, and it will get hot. And eventually, if you keep running it, the bearing will go out, and eventually the wheel will fall off because it is absolutely dysfunctional. It does not work without grease. And so love, I believe, is the grease in the wheel of a relationship. It has to be there. And why is love missing? There's many reasons why love is missing. Again, love is just absolutely essential part of a relationship.
Yeah, and I like to just say, Jonah, someone who loves their son or their daughter is going to care about the things that their son and daughter care about. And they're going to get involved in their lives, and they're going to be there for all of their, you know, highlights in life. And I'm even thinking about, you know, growing up, birthdays were huge when I was young. And, you know, and then you get a little bit older and they're not as important anymore. But then you have your own children coming up. And I know several men in my life that they will absolutely not miss a birthday. It is at the top of their list. It has to be celebrated on the day of the birthday because it's taught me a lesson, I guess, just to observe that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I think the other thing, too, is, I mean, we live in a day where so many couples, things don't go right, and so they turn on each other and it leads to divorce, and so the children are caught in between, and that is breeding a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like we live in a world that is very, very angry, and a lot of that comes from not having a solid foundation growing up, not having that security in the home. And that leads to doing something with that anger on the inside. And, you know, it's coming out in various places. People are using guns and blowing each other up to, you know, just maybe smaller things like stealing and drugs and which leads to even deeper things. And it's just a very angry world that is getting in a lot of trouble. And in the end, they end up in prison.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And also, I would point out, you know, again, going back to what does a biblical father-son relationship look like? Also think of Adam and Eve. God created Adam, put him in the garden, and he would come and walk and talk with Adam in the garden. It was a love relationship. It was a relationship that was blooming. And but the unfortunate thing about it is, you know, sin came into our life through Adam. And because of sin, sin is like a cancer, and it constantly eats on that, eats on relationships. And today we live in a world of you know, broken lives, all kinds of voices, if you will, in this world, distractions, if you will. There's so many things to get distracted by. And the communication age, the internet age, there are so many things out there that can be good tools, but they become, because of emptiness in people's lives, they become a distraction, and they get in between relationships, and they break relationships apart.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it takes it's too difficult to look around and find children that are affected because of the sins of their parents, bad relationships. It's easy to get mad at the kids or wish they were in jail or something, but it's good to do what you're doing and care about them, try to break the cycle and get them back to God.
Yeah.
So you deal with a lot in the prison system, but do you notice these same kind of dysfunctional relationships just in your community and outside of prison?
Yes. It's a problem. You know, when we go to prison, we're dealing with a lot of people, with people from the streets primarily. But like I just shared, because of a distraction age, I guess, if you will, this problem exists in the churches. It exists in the Christian arena. Broken and dysfunctional relationships. You know, so many young couples start out falling in love and don't understand life. They don't understand commitment. There is a huge lack of commitment in our society. And, you know, a marriage relationship, for example, has to be built. Falling in love is the first part. That's how people get together. That's why they get married. But that's only the beginning. From there, the marriage has got to be built. Two different people think different. They do. They have different characters. And sometimes when, you know, we have this, we say that opposites attract, and I really believe they do. You know, there's sometimes we like, maybe we are a quiet person. So if we are a quiet person, tends to be shy, we like to maybe sit close to people that can talk because it's interesting. And so we may be attracted. We may be a shy, quiet person and attracted to a talkative person and fall in love. Well, that's all well and good. But once you get into that marriage relationship, now you have a partner that likes to talk, and maybe you like to have some quiet time. And so immediately there's something that's got to be worked out. And so, like I said, the relationship has got to be built. There's going to be hurdles to get across. And these hurdles are going to have to be crossed prayerfully with God's guidance and direction for it to be successful. And the same way with children, something that I have noticed, and I'll just tell you something about myself. I consider myself a young parent. I'm 36 years old. I have 7 children, 4 boys and 3 girls. And so, you know, actually I find myself unworthy to even be talking about relationships because, you know, I'm not an older person that has the experience of, you know, dealing with older children. I have experience with younger children. My oldest is 13. My youngest is a year old. And so I know children well. And I have learned a lot through the Malachi Dads process myself. And I've been involved now for about 3 years. And I have learned a lot about my children and my family. I have come to appreciate my children because of it. But one thing that I have noticed is, you know, like I said earlier, sons tend to be like their fathers. They tend to follow in their father's footsteps. And the reality is we all have some quirks or some characteristic traits that we don't really like. You know, we have them, but we don't like it. And then maybe we see that in our child. We see that same characteristic in our child. and that we don't like. And it can tend to make us resentful towards that child. We want to straighten that child up. You know, reality is that that child inherited it from us. That's just something that I have noticed in myself, that I've had to check myself and realize, you know, this child is a product of me. And if I see something in his life that I don't like, it may be because it's in my life, and I need to check myself. And I can't, you know, I have to love my child, and I have to give my child direction. But I can't begin downgrading him because of what I see in him. God created each and every person for a reason, and he created us with worth. Now, we have blemishes, but that's okay. God can work with blemished people. We all have worth. So we have to focus on the worth in our child. We have to focus on the good things. If we focus only on the bad things in the child's life, if we are constantly correcting our child, if we are constantly pointing out to him where he's doing wrong, that child is going to get depressed. He is going to despair. He's going to feel like he never can quite measure up for his parents. And it is a beginning of a broken life. We have a local gentleman, a father and a son, here in my local town, that the son is about my age. I think he's 36 or 37 years old. And but that he is as worthless as you can find him. He is on medication, probably several hundred dollars worth of medication a month. He is almost incapable of doing much. He is so drugged up he can't do much. He can't even drive anymore. He did have a driver's license for a time, but what he hears on a daily basis is, "Jimmy, you're no good. Jimmy won't do it. Jimmy just is no good." And that's what he's heard from a young age, and that's what he's become. Children become what we call them. If we tell them they're no good, if we tell them their brother's better, you can't do it well enough, that's who they're going to be. But Proverbs talks about rising up and blessing our children. If we bless our children, if we encourage them and comment on the good points of their life, they will become productive and successful citizens. But if we constantly point out their faults, we as fathers or parents are putting our children down a bad road. We are cursing our children.
All right. If you have a question or comment, you can press 5-star. We'll get to it. But it's easy to see how relationships don't work out too well when the father commits a crime and is in prison and the children grow up without a dad. But when does it become a dysfunctional relationship in a normal family? The family that all lives together, goes to church together. How do we know when it's a problem that needs worked on?
Well, you know, a dysfunctional relationship doesn't happen overnight. The prophet said, you know, and sometimes, you know, especially maybe with large, sometimes the mother is struggling with several young children, and along comes another one, and they weren't ready. And that child from early on can feel if he's not quite accepted. And so, you know, but all babies are cute, and we love babies, young children. We love to play with them. We love to hold them. We love to talk to them. They're pleasant to be around. But, you know, as they grow a little older, they begin building their own character. Their own character begins coming out. And children training, children left to themselves, the Bible says, bring shame to their parents. And something that can start out as something good, if it's not cared for and watered and nurtured, will become sour. And it can happen gradually. But as time goes on, and I can talk about this from experience because, like I said, I learned a lot from being involved in the Malachi Dad process as a coach. I began to realize that, I was at home every night with my children. Maybe I was busy, and I felt like I didn't have time for my children. And so I was busy doing my thing, and my children were being neglected, even though I was right here with them. Children need their parents' affection and love. They desperately need it. A hug is awesome. A couple hugs a day is wonderful. they survive and they thrive on that. Children need to be complimented if they are good at something. And children have different talents. And just because one is more talented than another does not mean that he's another one. They are equal to God. Nobody has more worth than somebody else. We have different talents. And so children need our love. They need our attention. And so I began to realize that I was neglecting my children by being too busy. You know, we can be an absent father even though we're at home. If we are too busy with our life, with our business, with what we like, we can be neglecting our children, and our children are going to suffer. And so I began to realize that that's what I was doing with my children. And so I began trying to take time with each child at least a couple minutes a day, just to have a conversation with them. You know, children love conversation. They love when you sit down and you give them your full attention and you have a one-on-one conversation with them. They absolutely love that. And we've had times when we sit down with the family after supper in the evening and we just start talking about the day's events. I might ask each child, what did you like best about today? And they'll think about what they like best. And before we know it, everybody is involved in a conversation. It's including everybody. We're talking about what they like. And I'm telling you, right there is where relationships begin being strengthened. But if that is not there, if that is totally missing, the child will be left to themselves. And you know, children tend to be question boxes. They tend to ask all kinds of questions until maybe it becomes annoying. It should not become annoying because children have worth and they want to learn. And, you know, if we are too busy to involve our children in our life, then we are too busy. Because a child is not just an object. It has an eternal soul. And the way that we treat our child will affect the choices that that child will make. And so if we are too busy to take the time for our child, then the child is going to go somewhere else. And some of us as fathers may have noticed a pattern in some of our children's lives. When we constantly just turn off their question, don't answer, or say, I'm busy, eventually they will quit asking the questions. Now, it doesn't mean that the questions have left their mind. Absolutely not. They will find somebody else that will answer their questions. And when somebody else begins answering their questions, what is happening is somebody else is getting their heart. Somebody else is stealing their heart. At that point, you begin losing your child's heart and your child's life. At that point, your relationship with your child is breaking down. It is becoming dysfunctional and will end up you and your child will become estranged from one another. You will become strangers, and eventually that child is going to be old enough to jump the ship and is going to leave because it never found fulfillment in that relationship. We all look for fulfillment through relationship. Even grown men and women look for relationship. We look for fulfillment. And when that is not there, we turn to something for that. And today, we live in a world, the devil has got all kinds of temptations out there for our children. If we don't give our children the time and attention that they need, the world is standing there ready to give it to them, and they will. And at that point, we lose our children to the world.
I know what you just shared, Jonas, was very much the truth in my life. And I think I didn't realize it, you know, at the time, and I don't think my dad even realized it. But at about the age of 15, 16 years old, I did not have enough of a connection with my dad anymore. I actually didn't have very much of a connection with him growing up at all. But I was still, you know, there was still that connection until I ran into this other person at about 15 and a half years old. And that's who I started getting my answer from. And, you know, then I went through a very difficult time in my life because of it. But, you know, I look back now and, you know, and just compare it with what you just shared. And that is so true. Our children will go and find their answers from someone else. And if it's the wrong person, then not a lot of parent can do about it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's hard to, for me, when you were talking, Jonas, I was thinking, imagine going to pray to our Heavenly Father and Him saying, not now, I'm busy. We don't even think about that He would ever consider doing that to us, and yet we do it to our children a lot, probably a lot more than we should. So what if there's a father out there now or a family that's thinking, maybe I have been neglecting my children, or maybe I'm starting to lose their heart. What steps should they take now before it goes too far?
Well, let me say this. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. And today is an opportunity to change. You know, it doesn't matter where we're at. We are human beings, and we all make mistakes. And sometimes we have made mistakes years ago, and now we are reaping. And the harvest is not what we wanted. But again, today is the first day of the rest of our life. Today we have opportunity to change. So what if we have a child that we have, that the relationship is broken, we don't have a good relationship with him? We can beat a child into submission for only so long. You know, God gives us children, and He gives them to us for a short season. And we have a short season of influence. Our children will one day grow up and be men and women, and will make their own choices. So we can use force only for so long. But there is a force that a child can never get away from, and that force is called love. And so, if we have neglected our children and now we are beginning to reap a bad harvest, today is the day to begin loving your child. Today is the day to begin rebuilding that relationship with your child. And the first thing that we need to do as parents in that situation is to recognize that we have failed. We have to immediately stop blaming the children for what they have done. Yes, the children will be responsible for their actions, but we have to accept our own responsibility of our own mistakes. That is the first step. Recognize that we have made a mistake. And we may even need to go to that child and apologize to them and tell them, look, I know that I've made a mistake. I know that I haven't been there for you. And repent to that child. Ask for their forgiveness. And then it's time to begin rebuilding that relationship. And especially for a parent, where maybe the child is 16, 17, 18 years old, and he's contemplating leaving home or has left home because of rebellion or whatever, it is too late to use force. It really is. The only force that you can use is the force of love. And what you have to do, I believe, and I'm talking from a biblical perspective. I don't have personal experiences. I'm just talking from a biblical perspective. I believe that it's time for us to step back, recognize our faults, and give the child their space. There's a saying that we have, if you love something, set it free. If it was meant for you, it will come back. Now, our children were meant for us. We're going into fall and winter right now, and the grass and the flowers and the trees are losing their leaves. They're dying. We're entering a season of death, if you will. But in the spring, the warm sunshine, which we could liken to love, will begin streaming down from the heaven, and will begin warming the earth and warming the plants. And very soon, the fresh flowers will begin popping up. Fresh leaves will begin bursting forth on the tree. Life begins coming back to those dead things. And so if you have a broken relationship, it's similar to something dead. It's broken. It's gone. But the sunshine of love can begin that process of bringing life back there. And it may take a process of time, but love is absolutely essential. Without it, again, it's just not going to work. I believe parents need to step back, like I said, recognizing the faults that they have made, giving the child some space, and begin blessing your child. Begin telling your child about the things that you appreciate. Again, why are they leaving home? Why is the relationship broken? Possibly because we have neglected them. Possibly because we have brought a curse on them by talking about their bad points. So how do we begin changing that? By doing the opposite. Begin talking about their good points. Begin showing them love. begin, and that may be hard to do. It is hard to do. Let me put it that way. It is hard to do. When you have a child that is making choices that you do not agree with whatsoever at all, it is hard to continue to show that child love. It is hard to encourage that child. But here's the deal. It is absolutely essential. It's the only way. Because as far as force goes, you've lost it. The child is at the age where he can swim and he can jump the ship, if you will. And so as far as force goes, you have lost it. And you're going to have to rebuild that relationship in order for things to come back in order the way you want to. Without that love and relationship, it's not going to happen. I know parents that, you know, I personally know parents that have dealt with that and, you know, have dealt with it in different ways. Some of them have talked with their children, have tried to persuade them of their evil ways, of their bad mistakes and choices, and here's the deal. Many of those children already know they're making bad choices. They know they're making a mistake. But they're at a point in life when they don't care anymore because they've tried so hard in their life and it's never worked. And so they're ready to kick the bucket, if you will. Excuse me. And so a parent has to step back and start over.
All right. If you want to hear this call again, you tell a friend or family member to listen, and you can call the conference line. I'll give the phone number, 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800. PIN number that you'll need to put in to hear the recording is 89752. 89752. And Jonas, as you were talking about the relationships between a father and a child, it seemed like there's a lot of similarities between a husband and wife relationship too. If one spouse is losing the other spouse's love or heart, and a lot of times it could be for the same reasons of being too critical or one person being too busy and not having time to listen. Are there's a lot of similarities, and how does a bad relationship between parents affect the children?
It has a huge effect on children. We as parents owe it to our children to show affection and to love one another. Children are very smart in a sense. They can pick it up real quickly if there is tension in a relationship, and especially if there's open arguing, or, you know, if it's very obvious that the parents are not getting along and there's children involved, it is extremely detrimental to the children. And a lot of times the children will feel like it. For whatever reason, they feel like it's their fault that the parents don't get along. And so, and especially if they're a little bit older, say, you know, early teens, be even earlier, 8, 9, and 10, they will begin blaming themselves for the problems, for the tension between their parents. And it is just, I cannot say it enough, it is so detrimental. It is so important for parents to, you know, like the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It is important as a parent to keep the oil of love in the relationship. Again, I can talk about that from experience. We've been married for about 12 years, 13, 14 years, I guess. And, you know, like I said earlier, a marriage is built. And we came into our marriage, me and my wife, very ignorant. We didn't know about relationships. We were in love. And we very quickly realized that we had different tastes and differences. And we struggled with that at times. You know, there was times that you know, two people do think different. And there's sometimes things we don't agree with. Excuse me. And it is extremely detrimental when we try to work out our differences in front of our children. There is a time for parents, for a husband and a wife, to discuss their differences and to work things out. But it should not be done in front of the parents, or in front of the children. It should be done in private. And again, don't let the sun go down on your anger. There's been times when me and my wife have went to bed and there was this huge wall in between us. And And it would have been almost easy to just ignore it and to just, you know. But we've had many nights that we spent, went to bed angry at one another, and but recognize that this is not right. This is not going to work. This is going to tear this whole thing, this whole family unit down. And we maybe spent an hour or two in tears and talking and working out those things. It is important that we do. We can't ignore them. Differences do come up, and that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that we are different. God has made us different. We just need to learn to know each other. We need to learn how to work with our differences. It can be done, and we owe it to our children to do that. Because after we've worked those differences out, we can have that well of love in our relationship once more. And when a father and mother love each other and the children know it, the children feel secure. They feel a sense of security when they are in when they're with parents that have a good relationship. But when there is tension in the relationship, those children feel very insecure, and it's a blight. It's a cancer, if you will, on their life.
All right. Yeah, here we've all heard probably stories of relationships with husband and wives or parents and children being made better, and not all do, but we hear them about the ones that are restored are based upon more love and patience and kindness and prayer and forgiveness by one or both people. But I've never heard of one. And have you ever heard of a story of a relationship being restored by people yelling more or showing more force or being more stubborn? It seems
absolutely not.
Yeah, and it's the power of God's love, as you keep saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody have any other comments or questions or anything else you can share, Jonas?
I don't have anything else. Unless somebody has a question or something, I'd be happy to answer it.
Jonas, when you go into prisons, You always go in with more than just one person, and I'm just wondering, if a person wanted to join you, what would that entail? If someone wanted to join you from, you know, another state, or are there certain times of the year where that might be more, you know, easier to do or more of a benefit? Can you share a little bit about that?
Okay, yes. Well, there's always an opportunity for somebody that wants to get involved in ministry. You know, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We read about that in 2 Corinthians. And so, yes, there's always an opportunity. Now, as far as the Malachi Dads and the Rubies for Life, there is a process to go through to be able to go to prison. You have to be cleared. The prison will need your personal information like social security number, telephone number, home address, and things like that. And they will do a background check on you. But it's a fairly simple process to be able to go into the prison. You know, for the Malachi Dads, it's a huge commitment in a sense. I mean, you know, it is only 2 hours a week. Well, I say 2 hours in the week. With travel time and everything, it's more like 5 or 6 hours a week. But it is a huge commitment. It is a chunk of your time out of your week. And we also, along with the Malachi Dads, once a year we have an event in the men's prison and also in the ladies' prison where we bring the children of inmates to the prison to see their parent. If they are in the class, in the Malachi Dads or Ruby's class, they are eligible to have their children come to the prison for a day. And it is a huge event. It takes 200 or 300 volunteers to make this happen. We usually take 50 to 60 children inside the prison. And I won't take the time to explain all the logistics of that, but it is a huge undertaking. It takes a lot of volunteers. And it is an event where we need volunteers. And if there are people out there that would just like to get a glimpse of what it looks like, get a taste, maybe they, in their home community, they have a burden for outreach there. They want to come see how it's done. It is an opportunity where they can contact the ministry and sign up for those particular events. And that number that Paul gave you, you can call that number and tell them and fill out an application, and you can come for a day and spend a day with us in the prison. and see firsthand children and parents being reconnected. It's an absolutely awesome sight to behold when children and their parents have a day together. We've took children in the prison that hadn't seen their mama or daddy in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and it's just absolutely awesome to see those reconnections. You know, the parent has already been in class doing their homework, writing their children, and are now anticipating a day with their child. And so it is an opportunity for even out of state to volunteer with this ministry. Again, there's a need for this ministry all over our nation. And if there's a group in another state or that has a connection with a prison, and the prison would like to have Malachi Dads in there, we as a ministry are willing to come to your location, educate you, help you get started with Malachi Dads or the Rubies process. It is very needed, desperately.
All right, and the phone number again for Malachi Dads, the HR Ministries, is 270-365-6044. 270-365-6044. If you want to call this recording again, or any of the other past few, you can dial 641-715-3800 and enter PIN number 89752. And reminder, the first Sunday of every month, we'll plan on having a conference call. Michael Pearl, scheduled to be the guest on December 1st. So we hope you can join us then. Thank you for joining us, Jonas, and for your help and wisdom and all you do to help make the prisons better and restore relationships.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for having me. It's been a blessing to be here.
Hey, would you mind closing in prayer, Jonas?
I will. Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, that came and died on the cross to pay for the penalty of sin so that we can be set free. Tonight, Father, we come to you, and we thank you that you have come to restore relationships. Lord, we are human beings, and we are subject to mistakes. And Lord, I pray tonight as we have discussed relationships and broken relationships, and Lord, maybe there is callers on here that are struggling with those kind of things. Lord, I pray for all those situations. Lord, you are a God of reconciliation.
Amen.
And God, I pray that you strengthen us as parents who have the responsibility of raising children, that you would give us wisdom and boldness and courage to rise up and be the parent, to make the changes in our life that we need to make in order to have those relationships with our children. Help us to realize, Lord, that children have an eternal soul. What we do with our children will make an eternal difference. Help us to realize that, Lord. And Lord, again, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here to share. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And again, just thank you for your Son, Jesus, that made all this possible. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There
Amen.
Is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, and some dark and cold, and there is a space.